I next met with faculty member Dr. Bradley Monk, and to begin, he picked up on a topic discussed by Dr. Letterman, the current management of recurrent ovarian cancer.
So, as you know, the most common relapsed ovarian cancer patient is a patient that's called platinum-sensitive relapse. That's what happens generally. And in my mind, bevacizumab is a second-line drug. It's approved in basically every second-line scenario, platinum-resistant, platinum-sensitive, with five chemotherapy backbones. And probably every patient needs bevacizumab in that setting, or maybe even frontline, but needs bevacizumab. So I prefer to cross through that window in that platinum-sensitive relapse patient. Now, the complicated factor is that in platinum-sensitive relapse, based on OCEANS and 213, that includes a maintenance phase. And I wouldn't personally ever abandon bevacizumab maintenance in favor of PARP maintenance, even in a BRCA germline mutated patient. So I look at PARP as a third-line drug and Bev as a second-line drug, and I think it's just that simple.
Obviously, in order to, I guess, to come to that conclusion, you feel like the therapeutic benefit of maintenance Bev or Bev plus maintenance is greater than with PARP inhibitors. But I mean, in the niraparib trial, the hazard rate was 0.27 for the BRCA germline or whatever, you know, it was under 3 for the BRCA germline, which you said you still wouldn't use. And isn't that a higher hazard rate than what you see by adding Bev?
I do not look at it that way at all. See, you're comparing one treatment versus the other. I am looking about the sequencing of events or the agents. I'm looking about which agent to use first. That patient that you just described, that germline BRCA patient, she's going to get both drugs. It's only a matter of when. And so that's the role of molecular testing, right? So molecular testing can either be germline, somatic, and somatic can either be BRCA or HRD. And it's the molecular signature that allows me to sequence the agents. And that's the most important point that we can make. They're going to get both drugs. It's not one or, it's one and it's only a matter of when. And when is informed by the molecular signature.
Well, how does the molecular signature change what you do?
Well, if she is HRD negative, I may delay PARP for subsequent lines of therapy. So I may use PARP fourth or fifth line, okay? At the same time, if she is BRCA positive, I would use PARP third line. And what happens is that people get mired into these indications. The indications for olaparib, rucaparib, and niraparib are all different. But let's face it, the indications are so broad that now with niraparib's approval, most patients are going to be able to get PARP in some scenario. So it's only a matter of sequencing.
Just to clarify, though, again, you know, we, of course, are always in the habit of asking investigators what they do. A lot of times we do them by surveys. It's just that this has only been, like, whatever, a couple weeks now. You're one of the first people I've even talked to.
Since March 27th, yep, niraparib.